Hi there, and welcome to the next DBN podcast. My name is Melanie Cant, and today I'm joined by John Atkinson from NBSL. Good afternoon, John.
Hello, Mel. Lovely to be here.
Great. I'm pleased because we've got a lot to talk about. Today, we've got a bit of a special edition podcast going on, haven't we? We're here to talk about grants.
Hurrah!
Hello, exactly. Now, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it, John? Because I remember it was the back end, it was probably August, September time when the last funding pot through NBSL dried up and everyone's been waiting anxiously, thinking, when's it going to start up again? And obviously lots of other things, namely COVID and etc. Anyway, we're here to talk to you about it so we can hear from the horse's mouth, exactly what's been going on behind the scenes and what your plans are for reopening that grant process. So, John, can you give me a bit of an overview of what's been going on behind the scenes?
Well, as most people will know, the North East Business Support Fund is funded from the European Regional Development Fund, which is part of our UK contribution to the overall financial support package that was created in the European Union. Now, despite the fact that the UK has now left the European Union, we had applied before Christmas to secure what was the final chunk of this money that we could get. And because we had paid into that programme, which completed at the 31st of December, we were able to do so, which means that we have been able to secure an extension on our North East Business Support Fund until June 2023. Which is very important because the replacement to the European funding that we've known for the last 40 odd years will be the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. That really hasn't seen the light of day as yet. Chancellor Rishi Sunak has put some funds into it for the coming financial year, but it will need to transition from where we are with European funding to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. So this is a good news story, which means that there's a degree of continuity until we get the new framework in place and that funding starts to come out.
So when is the new funding pot, or are you allowed to say, when it's officially going to launch?
We are opening the funding window again. A lot of businesses have registered an interest on getting news of the new fund as soon as possible, because clearly we have had to close the application window for quite some time now. As far as NBSL is concerned, the interim has been filled very much with supporting the North East LEP to deliver their COVID restart and recovery grant. So in the interim, we've supported the LEP to contract with over 600 businesses across the North East. So we've been fairly busy in the interim. And at the beginning of March, we are in the fortunate position of saying that we will be reopening the application window for North East Business Support Fund. I know that since before Christmas, we've been promising this. It's been a teaser that's been running for far too long, but circumstances have conspired to mean that it has taken slightly longer than we would have hoped to be in a position to reopen. But we are now at the point of being able to take new applications.
Well, I think it's fantastic news, and I'm a NBSL provider as well, and I've had a lot of clients come up to me over the last few months asking if there's anything available funding wise. So is there any changes to the in terms of the ceiling of the funding, the entry ceiling of what you can apply for? And also, is it still just for project work rather than capital purchases?
Yeah. The important thing to stress with this fund is it is an extension on the original contract that we secured. So the terms and conditions of eligibility and scope of the programme are exactly the same. The other important thing to stress, I think, at the moment is that because it's an extension, businesses that have applied within the last couple of years for Northeast Business Support Fund will not be able to come back and apply again. So that's quite an important point to me. But it is revenue only, so it is consultancy driven projects. We can't fund capital items. So I think one of the key messages is, as with all grant applications, read the terms and conditions, the criteria to start with, because you're wasting time if you think that you'll try and sneak a new laptop out of the grant. It won't happen.
John, I know that one of the obstacles that some of my clients find with the application process is, you know, there's a lot of people who just don't like filling out forms. But I personally find the application form quite straightforward. Can you give a little bit of an example of what that process involves?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to consider that the reason the questions are on the application form is that source of our funding is European Regional Development Fund, which is funded by a contribution from UK government, which uses UK taxes to put the money into the pot. So it's public money. It is your and mine tax payments. So we want to be sure that wherever we send that money, it's making the biggest impact possible. So the questions on the application form are very much intended to check your eligibility. And that's basically name and address. Where are you? So that we can make sure that you're in the appropriate part of our area, because there's a slightly different support rate from County Durham to Tyne and Wear in Northumberland. So that's quite important. Then we want to be sure that you're an SME, small or medium enterprise, so you're employing less than 250 people, and that you have an annual turnover not exceeding 50 million euro. I think the majority of clients you and I both come across fit quite comfortably within that definition, and that there is a credible plan to grow the business. There are one or two financial questions in there, but we're actually asking for figures from your last financial accounts, which are turnover, net profit, depreciation, and salary costs, and then a forecast for the coming year and the year after. So it's not major, you know, calculations required. It's lifting figures from your last audited accounts and forecast figures, mm-hmm. and a very brief summary about what you're actually wanting to do. So it's not particularly onerous. If you've got those figures to hand, I suggest that many people should be able to fill in the application form within about 15 minutes.
What if you don't have a set of accounts? What if you've only been, say, operating for a few months? Can you still apply, John?
You can. Anybody who has started trading, by that we mean that you have started to raise invoices for products or services, can be considered for a grant. However, what we then have to rely on are your forecast figures for the current year and the following year. And we do often have to do some additional investigation to ensure that the forecast figures you've put into the application form are fair assessment of where you are likely to be. Because at least with a business that's trading, you have a benchmark of what was done last year. As a new business, yes, we hope you are successful. We'd like to think that your forecasts are realistic. But if you're coming along and saying, well, I'm going to turn over £150,000 in the first year, and you turn over £100,000, that may be good for you. But in terms of our involvement, our support is about helping you to grow the business beyond where you thought you might be. Therefore, we want a realistic assessment of where you think you will be at the end of the first year and subsequently in year two. But it doesn't preclude you from applying.
So that's put a lot of clarity into people's minds about that. Can you touch on a little bit on what you can use the grants for?
Yeah, they're all about addressing issues within the business that are going to help you to grow. So if, for example, you don't have a clear idea about how you are going to market the business, then you need to put in place a marketing strategy. Now, that could also include the need for doing some rebranding work, design work on marketing materials, things like that. That could be included. We do quite a lot of work helping businesses to revamp and develop their websites, and in particular, to make their offer more accessible online. So e-commerce sites, certainly a big one. Given COVID and the experience we've had, we've done a lot of work with businesses who are looking to move their service offer to an online platform. Those have been remarkably successful and generated so many more benefits to the business than people could have thought in the first place. We've also done quite a lot of work with businesses who are looking to achieve various levels of accreditation, so ISO 9000, 14001, and the likes, which would enable them to open up new market opportunities for their services. Whilst we can support the project to develop the systems and processes and procedures within a business, we can't fund a contribution towards the cost of the actual accreditation visits, but we can help prepare businesses for that process. Some businesses also need help to develop a longer term growth plan for the business, and that's something that we are quite happy to support. The other element to this is, whilst we have, you know, financial limits of what we can support, so in County Durham we're looking at a minimum project value of £2,500 if the offer of grant is 40%. So £2,500 up to a maximum project value of £8,000. Because you can only apply once for this fund, then it's also worth considering whether there is more than one activity you may want to roll up into the application. We can accept applications with more than one activity and more than one provider involved. So there is a high degree of flexibility there, but people need to have thought out exactly how best they may want to use this money. Because putting a project in and say, right, let's get the money quickly and do something, that's great. But if then there is a follow-up element that could actually add even more value to you, it's worth considering whether to roll that into the same application.
Great. And what advice would you give to anyone who's considering applying for a grant? Would you have any points? You point them in the right direction, I guess?
Most definitely. I think the important thing is, before you even start hunting for grants, you work out what do you need to do to move your business forward? What help do you need to make those changes that are going to grow your business for you? Once you've determined that and have a rough idea of the costs that are involved, then you can start the search to find the grants. Now, there are various sources that you could look to check on what grants are available. Northeast Growth Hub is a good source. In County Durham, Business Durham have produced a booklet to help with the COVID recovery, which sort of outlines a fairly comprehensive list of grant schemes and support systems that are available across County Durham. So that would be the first step. And then when it comes to putting the application together, bear in mind, this is going to take time. Now, I know NBSL has a reputation for being very nimble and very quick at turning applications around, and we're very proud of that fact. But it is important that businesses plan well in advance, so that if somebody came to me today and said, well, I'd like to start the project next week at this time, with respect, I fear that's maybe leaving it a little too late. Our scheme is relatively quick and dirty, if we can use that phrase, in terms of the process. But for larger value grants in particular, you may well have to take a lot longer in putting your application together, and therefore the decision-making process as to whether you're successful could take that little bit longer. So think carefully and read the application. But my big plea to everybody is, before you start, plan what you want to do, identify what looks like the most appropriate grant for you, And if you've got any questions about eligibility, about whether your project could be suitable, then by all means, pick up the phone and ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are humans at the end of a phone. We're there to help. And what we're there to do is make sure that we get the best fit possible with the applicant for our particular fund.
John, how long do you have a time scale of when you have to sort of complete your project once your application has been accepted?
Because this fund is, in the overall grant world terms, a relatively low value, we are setting a maximum really of 3 months for this work to be done, because experience has shown that if you offer 6 months, people will ask for 6 months. And if we phone at the halfway point and say, how are things going? Many times we find that the project hasn't started.
Right.
And therefore, people think they're going to run out of time. So we're giving a focused time frame. And realistically, that hasn't been a problem for the many hundreds of businesses that have been through our system over the last 10 years or more. And I think it is important that if you're trying to develop or deliver an improvement project within the business, then you want to get on and do it. You know, this is hopefully help focus your mind on getting the work done. Because the other side of this is, the longer you take to complete the work, the longer you're going to have to wait to get the money back. We will only pay at the end of the project. So if you're delaying completion, then you are financially out of pocket.
Yeah, and I think as well on the other side of things, John, so I would like to apply for grant. I submit my application and I think I can claim for that work I've started on the website last month. It doesn't work like that, does it, John?
Not at all. Not at all. Retrospection on grants is something that is not allowed. I think in my career within the Business Support Network, I did come across a grant scheme the other day. The UK government has launched a scheme to support the fishing industry because with our leaving the European Union, documentation and customs border checks on fish in particular is a very time-sensitive issue, and there have been all sorts of problems. And since the turn of the year, the fishing industry has seen a substantial amount of its product, which has been destined for European markets, go off before it gets to the end market. So the government has actually introduced some retrospection. For 99.9% of every other scheme I've dealt with, there is no retrospection. So there is a very clear timeline. Identify your project, submit your application. Once it is approved and the contracts have been raised and you have signed them, then you can start the work. Now, again, COVID has shown us that we can do quite a lot of this work virtually. And as such, that does speed up the process to a certain extent. And I think this is likely to be the direction of travel for many grant schemes in the future.
And I'm assuming then at the end of the project, you will require some form of evidence. Can you give an example of what evidence you would require?
Yeah. Again, I refer to my point I made earlier. We're dealing with public money. Therefore, we need to show that we are paying money out to bona fide businesses, but that the work has been completed. So the evidence is usually copies of invoices you have paid to the provider or providers who've delivered the project. Evidence to show that the work's been completed. If it's a website, then it's very clearly screenshots of the website and the link to a live website. If it's the development of some back office software, then it's screenshots to show what's available.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a marketing project, then if there's a marketing plan, we won't see that. If it's a rebranding exercise, it's examples of the designs that have been produced. It's just a case of, yes, the fact that evidence that you have paid your provider. So a copy of a bank statement that shows the invoice money's being paid out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious, fairly straightforward things that we require, just proof of the activity being completed and evidence that the money has been paid to your provider. It's not onerous, And our team in the office are very helpful. If you've got questions, again, if you've got questions about it, they will answer them. They will tell you the level of detail and information they require to satisfy the auditors should they ever return to us and say, let's see what happened with this project.
And my last question for you, John, which I'm sure is what everyone will want to know, you've received your evidence and you've received your proof of payment. How quickly would the applicant get their grant money back to themselves?
The contract will say that we will pay within 30 days. In practice, that can be less than that. But certainly, we have no financial benefit or advantage at all in holding on to claims and not pay them, because we are in exactly the same situation as the applicant business, insofar as we are claiming the money back. So we have to pay it out before we can claim it back. So our objective at each month is to submit, pay as much as we can so we can draw down as much as we can. And I think our experience to date has been that we have certainly paid out well under the 30 days in many cases. It is a very important point to make that you need to be able to cash flow the project. Again, it goes back to the point we were chatting about earlier. A focused piece of work, get on with it, get it paid for, get it claimed. The shorter you can make that period, the easier it is on your bank balance.
I agree with that 100%. So, John, if anyone is listening to this podcast and would like to find out more about NBSL, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Our website has a lot of detail about the North East Business Support Fund, and for businesses further afield than County Durham, because I know we are both resident here in County Durham, but the North East Business Support Fund also covers Tyne and Wear and Northumberland. NBSL delivers a whole raft of other stuff as well on behalf of North of Tyne Authority and others. So go to the website, nbsl.org.uk, and there are various links there that will take you through the various elements of support that we are offering. If people need to contact me, john.atkinson@nbsl.org.uk, or phone me on 07974 013 876.
It's lovely, John. Well, thank you very much. You've certainly cleared up a lot of questions that I had in my mind about this new funding pot, and I look forward to seeing the launch of it very soon. Speak to you soon. Bye.